2011 money on 2010 expenses, but it happens, and so that's what most of these are tonight. There are a couple others, and you're not being asked to approve this tonight. This is just for informational purposes only, so if you do have any questions, either looking at it tonight or tomorrow or during the next week or so, please feel free to contact me in the office, and I'll answer any questions anyone has before full board next week. Thanks.
Is there further public participation? Sir? Mr. Marty Miller.
My name is Martell Miller, and I want to bring something to the county board that's been going on since Friday, and I think this is the right place to bring it because it's over, something to do with the county jail and the sheriff department. Over a few years, we've had some deaths at the sheriff department, and right now we got a young man. Friday, I talked to Sheriff Walsh about he getting injured at the sheriff department by some sheriff deputies. After he got injured by the sheriff deputies Saturday, we went from Friday night to Saturday evening when able to urinate through that whole time. And when I got to talk to a sergeant, he was giving liquids. And they were talking about putting a catheter in him at the county jail instead of talking about carrying him to the hospital. So this was Saturday night. They told me they were going to get back with me or his parents or someone, his mother. Wish they did not get back with them that Saturday night. It's almost 24 hours that they got injured at the county jail. Sunday, I made a phone call, and I talked to Sergeant Johnson. I don't know his first name. He was very rude. He was very invasive. He gave me just a horrible feeling. I just wanted to ask the question, was the guy doing all right to get medical treatment? But he was so rude, it made me contact the attorney, see if I can get the attorney to get some information from him. The attorney got a bad feeling from the Sergeant Johnson, and I ended up searching around, and I got Sheriff Walsh's cell phone number. And I talked to him, and he said it, talked to me, and he said, I'm going to look into it, and told me, and he looked into it, and the boy was okay. He's getting proper medical treatment. Today, the young man is in Carl's Hospital. His mother don't know his condition. She went to the hospital probably a few hours ago. She tried to talk to the administrator, see if she could get some information. When she got there, they talked to the security guard. The sheriff department told her that she's causing problems. And they had the security guard escort her off the property. Right now, since Friday, she don't know the condition of her son. And I would like to know how would the county board or we go about getting some assistance when someone gets injured at the county jail. And I'm really worried about this person because I was involved with the Larry's case, the Quentin Larry's case, guy that died at the county. And the young lady that had died of the diabetic coma at the county jail, I was the one that ran into her husband the day after that. And it was a terrible situation when I found him up by the Walgreens, where the Walgreens wasn't built then, but up in that area then, when his wife had died from being at the county jail and what he had to go through. Now I never want to see another family go through what he's went through. I'm really worried about this young man right now. And I'm just bringing this to the county board to let them know what's going on at the county jail in Champaign. Thank you.
Is there further public communication? Apparently there is. Brad Dial?
I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Brad Dial, one of the candidates for appointment to the MTD board this evening. I'm a firefighter in the city of Champaign. I work out at Station 4 on the west side of town. I drive and operate and maintain the ladder truck on the west side of Champaign. My wife and I live at 3303 Springview Lane. That's in southwest Champaign also. As a board member for the MTD, my interest is in maintaining the excellent service that we have now through my work at the fire department. surprisingly, we meet a lot of people that don't have any way to get around town besides the MTD. And if they have an emergency, they don't have any way to get to the hospital, they call for an ambulance or the fire department. So we end up running into that situation a lot. I can appreciate the need for an excellent transit system here in town. As a board member, my main goal will be to ensure that our state, local, federal tax dollars are well spent, and that we get the most for our money, and that they're not spent in a bad way, or that they're spent in a positive way at all times. So I appreciate the opportunity to be appointed to the board, and I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Further public participation?
Yeah.
Are you interested? This is the time. Mr. Tony Bruno.
Good evening, folks. My name is Anthony Bruno, and I'm here tonight because I'm on the ballot for the UCSD vacancy. First, I'd like to just tell you a little bit about why I applied for this position. I've been building houses for Habitat for Humanity since I was 10 years old and got really involved with it in college. I was the president of the Habitat for Humanity chapter at Indiana University in Bloomington, and I sat on the Monroe County Habitat for Humanity board there. In doing that work, I got involved with, I built a lot of houses. I was a construction crew leader for a few years, and part of that process involved laying drainage. Before you build a house, the first thing you do is you dig a hole in the ground and you lay the drains. So I got involved with that, and I developed an interest in the drainage system and all the aspects of the house. So I thought I'd have something to offer the UC Sanitary District. I've been gone for 7 years from Champaign-Urbana, but I'm born and raised here, and I love this community. And I want the opportunity to get involved. I've moved back. I came back with a bachelor's degree and a law degree. I'm working in Urbana right now. And I thought this would be a good opportunity for me to get involved. Now, I don't want to waste your time, and it's my understanding this is a pretty uphill battle for me tonight, and I get that. But I'll ask for your vote anyway, and if it doesn't work out for me tonight, I want to let you know that you'll probably see me here again. I'd like to serve. Keep that in the back of your minds. I'm here to help if I can. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bruno. Is there further public participation? Seeing none, we'll close that. Communications. Ms. Holderfield.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure everybody noted that there is a visitor's guide that is on your desk with your items this evening. I was appointed as a liaison for the Champaign County Visitors Bureau. A part of that, I am now a member of the Community Participation Committee. That's where the Visitors Bureau, the Visitors Bureau guide comes from. There are a lot of very interesting things that are being developed out of that committee. Part of it is the potential for 40 North to join the UCVD under that auspice and umbrella. Also, I'm not sure if all of you are aware of the fact that they are losing their home at the Ramshaw Building for the EDC, the Chamber, as well as the CBD. So they are moving, and they are all looking for other locations to disperse in. And I believe that CBD will be housed in an area potentially with 40 North. So I think there's some interesting things that are going on to increase the interest and awareness in Champaign County, and we want to keep that up. That's part of what we're here to do, is to draw people into Champaign County as a great place to not just visit but to live. So I will be keeping you all up to date as interesting developments arise. I hope you enjoy that visitor's guide. It's very, very nice. And I think the one thing you will notice, if you don't, I'm going to point it out, there's no advertising. So it's advertising free. Thank you.
Mr. Kurtz.
Thanks. Two quick announcements. One, tomorrow the help desk at the County Courthouse will open at 9 a.m. And secondly, I met last week with a project manager for Midwest Energy. We went over maps and plans for a 135-megawatt wind farm that will take place here, running from Ahmet in Champaign County up through Piatt and into Plain County. We will have something like 50 megawatts. The first of their special use permit applications will take place this year. With the recession now waning, they feel that they're ready to move forward, and in 2012 we're looking to see construction of wind turbines in Champaign County.
Ms. Evans.
I just wanted to thank Mr. Miller for coming to the county board and sharing the information and let him know that I'll contact the sheriff tomorrow and see if there's any facilitation for the family in that situation.
Thank you. Further communications? Okay, we'll close that off. Let's go on to our agenda item, Justice and Social Services. Mr. Richards.
Good evening. The only thing we have on our Justice and Social Services portfolio this evening are monthly reports from some of our agencies. I will entertain motions to put on file, and after that, any discussion or questions exist. Is that an omnibus motion, Mr. James?
That is.
Okay, an omnibus motion. We have a motion. We have a second from Mr. Rosales. Is there any discussion or are there any questions on these reports? Seeing no discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the same. The reports are placed on file. We have no other business. Only thing the chair has to report is that the jury commission has not met yet this month. We will be doing so in a couple days. And so at that time, I will certainly make sure everybody's filled in at full board what happened. But at this time, nothing to report. And that's it for justice. Too late. Okay. Mr. Nuda?
Too late.
Go ahead.
Maybe in the hall, I think we ought to discuss some things.
Okay.
I've noticed in what's happened since we disbanded from the 9-member Social Services and Justice Committee that the individual entities that used to report to us on a monthly basis, you were nice enough to read us what happened on the internet, what they reported. But I'm wondering, I think we're losing touch of what they're doing and some things that go on that maybe we should know about, and if we should consider having a quarterly session like we do the nursing home for mental health and other departments that we have not seen or talked to in a long time. Carol's giving that look because I know what she's saying. We have missed out on a lot of information, and I know most of us don't read it on the internet. Anybody read it? Okay. No journalists. But why wouldn't we have a quarterly report on the basis of them presenting to us like the nursing home does, and at least get a flow of what's happening so we can ask questions? Either a committee of the whole or a full board meeting.
I think that is a great idea. We certainly, a couple years ago, used to see a lot more from these agencies. We haven't really seen a lot the last year. And I certainly agree that this is the kind of thing that can fall through the cracks. But a lot of you never know on a monthly basis whether there's going to be something really important. There were plenty of things in these last 2 months' reports that are things we should be keeping up with. Nothing that has been going wrong, but I think that's a great idea, Mr. Nuto. Your hand was up first, Mr. Nuto.
One more follow-up thing to that, and that is, notoriously, there were several of those groups that didn't get reports to us on time. And again, Carol would say, I don't want to read something the night I have to report on it to talk about it. And so, it would be good to at least get them to do quarterly, have in our hands something we can read, and then have some conversation about.
Carol?
I won't repeat his statement, but I'll just say that the importance of that is this board, unfortunately, has turned over so much of its responsibility to other boards that we have lost touch with those administrative functions. And often we have no idea what's happening with your money half the time. And so I think that that is a very poor direction that we have fallen into, but we really need to reclaim the responsibility as an elected official in this position and require that those who are administrating under our authority to have to come and explain why they're doing what they're doing to this board, because it may not be the direction the board wants it to go in. And where you have the authority to implement change, you really should.
Ms. Petrie.
Thank you to both of you. I concur totally, and I'd like to know, besides the fact that the Senator is going to call the sheriff for a follow-through, is there any other formal procedure set by the county board when we hear comments such as we heard this evening as citizens' participation to follow up as we get the facts behind what we are being told?
Well, not specifically for the sheriff's office, but for any of these, we, as elected officials, certainly have the right to contact these agency heads, and in most of the cases, we're paying the bills. And so we, anybody who didn't want to come in quarterly, we, at some point, they're going to want us to approve a budget transfer, a budget amendment, or just their budget. So we have plenty of leverage over a lot of these. Mr. James.
I was just going to say I structured some of my meetings for the corporation I served that when the quarter would end, my report would be due the next month instead of at the end of that quarter, so they had all the up-to-date information. And I would hope that most of the board members in this room, I don't mind people making calls, but there should be a chain of command or a go-through to where, like the sheriff's office, if we all start calling and then, you know, asking a lot of questions, I think he was elected by the people. We have the right to ask questions, but I also think if he wants to come to the full board, go to a closed session and give a report, it would be better than all of us calling him during his busy day.
And to clarify, I was talking about all of the agencies, animal control, emergency management, not specifically to her question about the sheriff's office, but because our elected officials do have a lot more leeway than a lot more of the others. Are there any other questions, Mr. Carter? Do you have a question?
Yeah, I just like, I'm proud to see some of the other board members that's realizing that this have better problems, been slipping away from us for some time, and I'm glad to see them realizing that, and I hope we go back to the former government that we used to have so we represent our taxpayers better than we've been in the past.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Mr. Weibel.
Just to clarify on the relationship with the sheriff's office, the sheriff is a statutory position because it's elected. Therefore, any portion of orders, not the county board. And these circles are required, but I think we can be treated like other citizens, and that's basically our position on this.
Anything else? Okay, that's it for justice.
Next, finance, Mr. McGinty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Item A is off the agenda. Item B, budget amendments and transfers. Number one, an amendment 1100009 for $302 out of the coroner's office as a reimbursed monies. Is there a motion for approval?
So
I stand, seconded by Stephanie. Is there discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two, an amendment 1100012, revenue neutral for $127,500 out of the justice system. This is to pay for replacement of NAS 400 for New World and Jano system. Is there a motion for approval by Brad? Is there a second? By Stephanie. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 3, an amendment, 1100013, zoning and enforcement area. The appropriation increase is $8,045. Revenue is $8,325 to reflect a receipt of a grant for building code feasibility study. Is there a motion for approval?
So
by
moved.
Al. Is there a second by Ralph? Discussion?
One clarification. The revenue line item, and this is on page 22 of your packet, should actually be 080-077-322-21. which is, reflects that this is federal grant revenue.
Thank you. Anything else on this item?
The line item, the revenue line item for this budget amendment should say 080-077-33221. It is a federal grant revenue line item.
Anything else on this? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That motion carries. Item 4, budget transfer, 110002 for $37,071, mental health board to cover proposed budget changes necessary to cover federal grant requirements for Access Initiative Project. Is there a motion for approval by Alan? Seconded by Stan. Discussion.
Just before, there's one first. Clarification, one correction on this one as well, which is on page 23. The last expenditure line, where it says two line items, 641053513.03, that should be 0.04.
Carol.
My question is, the budget for the Access Initiative Project, I think about, I don't know if it was last month or previous month, we had to do a budget amendment similar to this. And I would like to know why we were doing a budget amendment. If they're hiring new people, or have they began to do application of this process? It seems that we're spending more money than we're actually seeing developing something out of this Access Initiative.
Peter, are you able to address that, please? Peter Tracy. Thanks.
This is the federal grant which comes through the state of Illinois, DHS. The initial year, it was $1 million, the entire grant, of which we got Champaign County Mental Health Board for the Access Initiative, $679,000, I believe. Some of it goes to the University of Illinois, and then the state of Illinois takes a cut. At this point, the purpose of this, we're in the process of implementing it. We got a late start. The feds announced that we got the grant in October of 2009. We didn't actually get any money until February of 2010, and then we weren't staffed up until June of 2010. We're at a point now where we didn't fully understand all of the things that were necessary. This is a very intensive program in terms of how many transactions take place administratively. And we really undershot on the administration side, and this is to take care of that. And I think that we will not have another issue like this again, because we now know what the nature of this beast is. But there's a lot of transactions. There's a lot of parent youth involvement, and a lot of payments that are made related to this to what's required by the feds and the state, and it's just a more than what I thought it was going to be in terms of the administration. I don't know if that answers your question.
Please.
It would be helpful I know for this board, because some of the members are new also, I know the Access Initiative grant is huge. It's a federally funded grant, and it has all of these tentacles, but it's very hard to administrate a grant you don't understand. And so it would be helpful for us on two fronts. Is the quarterly thing for us to have a real update as to where the initiative is in process. And the second thing is, when we get budget amendments or requests to do a budget amendment, that the budget amendment is more specific to what the request is, so it doesn't look like we're doing the exact same thing we did previously, which is what this amendment is, making the adjustment for the additional staff that's necessary as you learn how to implement the grant.
Mm-hmm.
And so just for us internally, we need to have more explanation. But again, as far as your administration, that quarterly report for us will be helpful. We know that the money came to the county, but we don't know how it's being administered and administrated as far as receiving the direct service to the public. Where is that going? Mm-hmm. We don't have a view of that at this point. And so it would be helpful to the board members to know also what was happening.
Yeah, we would be very happy to do a quarterly report. In fact, I think one of the things about the mental health board that's managing this is that one of your members actually sits on the board. That's Janet Anderson. sits on the board as a member and is there making the decisions as a board member. We actually have a monthly report that we do for this, and I would be happy to make hard copies of that for all of the board members and share that. We love to share that information.
Anything else for Peter? Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else on this item? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, County Administrator's Report. Deb?
The first item is the General Corporate Fund Fiscal Year 2010 Final Report, which is at your desk tonight, attached to the green cover sheet. This report brings to you some very good news. We ended the fiscal year with a revenue positive position of $1 million, which is extremely good news. The first page is the revenue report and shows that we received $31.1 million in total revenues. Each line is portrayed there. The one that is probably most significant in terms of not coming in as budgeted was the general government fees line item. Most of the others came in within the 90% to 110% of what was originally projected. Overall, coming in at 97% of the budget. Now, we did anticipate that we would receive less than budgeted, which is why we enacted cuts in May, halfway through the year. On the revenue side, another interesting thing to note is that if you look at the fiscal year 2009 actual revenue, it was $32.2 million. But that number, you recall I've said this before, is really $31.2 million because we documented a $1 million payment that also was documented as a $1 million repayment of a loan and expenditure in a settlement that we received. So that is not the same kind of revenue that we're receiving on a regular basis. So from the perspective of our operating revenues, our ongoing revenues, 31.2 in 09, 31.2 in 10 shows that there is a stabilization of our revenues, which is good for us to know. The other thing is that we have budgeted fiscal year 2011 at $30.9 million in revenues, which is just 1% less than what we've received. And you know we were budgeting conservatively, but we have a budget that's very close to what looks like we should be able to expect as actual for fiscal year 2011, which hopefully means there will not be a need to continue to cut. On the expenditure side, which is the next page, this reflects the fact that we actually did cut this budget. It started out as a $32.4 million budget. We cut it this year to $31.1, but we only spent $30.1 million. Which means we underspent the expenditure side by $926,000, 3% less than the budget after we cut it mid-year. That shows a lot of conservatism by all of your department heads and elected officials in terms that they are not spending up to every dollar that is appropriated. I think they're being very conservative about managing their operations and their budgets, which is to all of our benefit. So it brings you to the last page, which shows that we actually received $31.2 million in revenue and spent $30.2 million in expenditure for a $1 million revenue excess, or that we received in excess of expenditure in fiscal 2010. So this is extremely good news for our fund balance. We started the year with a fund balance, an actual fund balance of 5.96%, and we end the year 3% better at 9.27%. Still not at our fund balance goal, but definitely much closer to something that is realistic in terms of cash flow. When you calculate out the loan to the nursing home, we end up with an 8.2 fund balance. But that is something the treasurer was unable to be here tonight, but we have looked at cash flow, and we truly expect that we will be able to make it until March maybe even April, before the general corporate fund has to take a loan, which is the position the fund used to be in 3 years ago. And 2 years ago, the fund had to start borrowing $3 million in December. This year, we expect probably won't need to borrow more than $1 million from another fund. So that's also extremely good news. Now, I also understand that there's a perspective on this because we did cut mid-year, and some may wonder, why did we cut when we ended up with such a positive variance at the end of the year? Well, some things certainly changed from May until the end of the year, mostly on the side of revenues that we received from the state. And in May, we were projecting that state income tax, state reimbursements, and state salary reimbursements would actually be $727,000 less than what we ended up receiving for the year, which is really what prompted us to make the cut, because we could not have absorbed a $727,000 deficit with the shortfall we already had in the fund balance when we began this fiscal year. So the state has improved. When they told us they weren't going to reimburse salaries in the early summer, they've retracted that, and they have reimbursed salaries. We are still 4 months behind in receipt of our income tax payments, but at the time we were doing these projections, we were not being paid at all, and we were projecting being as much as 6 or 7 months behind. So that's all good news, and that's where we are with the year-end for fiscal year 2010 general corporate.
Questions for Deb? Carol?
On the outstanding loans for the nursing home, could you get an update? I know the last few reports the nursing home was doing well and in the black, but I don't see any repayment schedule or process to kind of cut down this outstanding loan.
There is not one. The nursing home has taken on the annual debt obligation, which is an obligation of the general corporate fund, and they made that debt obligation in fiscal year 2010, which was reimbursing the general corporate fund $300,000 for the $4 million debt service, and they anticipate doing that again this year. I believe that in this year they are hoping to look at repaying this loan, but at this point in time, it's just sitting there. There's no repayment schedule structured. And if that were something that the board would want to direct, that might be something you would want to talk about.
Other questions for Deb? Okay, next report, please.
The budget change report just shows the total changes to the budget throughout the fiscal year. That we started with a $31.4 million budget and ended up with a $31.1 in expenditure and $32 in revenue. That was budget. That's not actual.
Questions? Okay. Harrison-Harris.
The Harrison-Harris reports are in your packet on pages 24. It starts. And I just point out that for the year, for the general corporate fund, the result of these collections was an additional $182,758. And overall, for all funds and other entity collections, the total collected was $846,680. I do know that there were some reporting complexities. We started this, first of all, we started probably not until the beginning of the second quarter. And then in August, there were some reporting complexities which slowed down our transaction of sending cases to them. That's been remedied, and we look for these collections to start picking up more again.
Questions on that report for Deb? Or an omnibus motion to accept all three and place on file by Brad, seconded by Carol. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And number four for your report.
The next item is really a request from the Redistricting Commission. As you know, they have been seated and commissioned to do work in terms of developing maps for the county board. And in order to complete that work, some resources are required to be allocated to them to actually input the census data and draw the maps themselves. by working with RPC staff, we have developed a recommendation here that does not require an increase to the general corporate fund budget or to any other budget by reallocating some of the work that had been planned under the county planning work contract and under the GIS special projects contract so that those initiatives would be delayed and the resources would be allocated towards the mapping requirements and the census data information requirements in order to draw maps in fiscal year 2011, which is something that the county board is required to do. It's fairly well spelled out in the proposal that begins on page 28 of your packet. Andrew Levy is also here, who's been working with the Redistricting Commission along with me to bring this information to you. The total of all of the resources that would be allocated, the maximum total is $14,744 in resources. It's possible that not all of this would actually be used. This is just a maximum amount that's being requested for allocation in order to meet the needs. I would also point out that with the green packet tonight, there was one additional request that came directly from the Redistricting Commission at their meeting last Wednesday evening to be added to this overall request that had already been prepared and was in your packets by the time they met.
Questions on this issue? Stephanie.
I just had a question regarding the GIS maps. Were those opened up for bid? Curious, were those bid out, or is it just
$7,466
that was recommended by RPC?
This is a proposal from the GIS consortium, and we did not do a bid. We don't typically are not required to do bids for purchases under $20,000, and we were simply asking our own experts in county government to give some estimates of what they thought the resources would be needed in order to provide this work product and output for the commission.
Please.
On that $7,466, is that a cap? Because what my question was, there were three question marks for additional map revisions. So out of that, I guess there's really no basis to understand exactly where that figure comes from, the $7,400 on total map cost.
I would say that's a cap based on the scope of the work that's documented here, but that's the most it would be.
Okay, thank you.
Now, if the Redistricting Commission should request more hours or service than what's documented here, then they would have to come back to you, if this were approved, to ask for the additional authority to go beyond that. But this is everyone's best estimate of what will be required to address their needs based on their schedule and timing and the number of maps that they're expected to produce.
And how many maps are they expected to produce?
I think that's included up to 25, is that right? Yeah, up to 25 different variations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Stan?
So this computer terminal that they're wanting to set up, that cost is not in on this figure on page 31?
No, but that is not, but we are not really assessing a cost for that at this time. We do have one license that could be used over this period of time that covers this GIS mapping we could make available because it is not currently in use in the Supervisor of Assessments Office because of a vacancy there. And we have a computer that we could set up to access that software on from like February through May, which is the time frame in which this would be occurring. They would both have to go back to where they came from after that point in time, but we could make them available without additional expense for that from February through May.
Could we, on this total cost, could we put in the word not to exceed the $14,744, and if it does, that would have to come back before the full board for approval?
Well, based on what's before you, it would have to come back to the full board because that is all you would be. If you approve this, that's all you're approving.
Patsy?
Yes, I have several clarification questions. So we've moved money around. That means things are not going to be done in the way of planning. So my first question is, then where is that money coming from to replace what's been moved around so we can proceed on those issues?
Well, that was an issue that was prepared for the addendum of the ELA committee last week, but was removed from the agenda, which outlined the county planning work contract and how it would be impacted. I can speak to the GIS side. We budget money with the GIS for special projects for the county that are done at the request of department heads affected by GIS, which are primarily right now the county clerk and supervisor of assessments. There's an addressing project that they had anticipated working on this year, and it's not really all ready to come together. And with the recent change in the county clerk's office, both of those department heads had no objection to delaying that addressing project and using the resources that were originally dedicated in 2011's budget from GIS for the addressing project and just delaying that until next year. On the county planning work contract, I believe, again, there was $3,500 available for general planning services that was not specifically allocated, and the recommendation from the planning manager was to allocate those monies to redistricting. And there was also money in funding sources research, which may or may not be available or applicable, and that money that had been appropriated there, not specific to any specific project, could go towards this redistricting initiative in 2011.
So the bottom line is, it's still an add-on to the budget, especially when you have to take care of those other issues. I went to the meeting last Wednesday night and listened to what the commission said. My takeaway from listening to them is that any maps that come from the outside need to be filtered through the commission and need to be run through the program that's being proposed by RPC. So this amount of $14,000 is going to be exceeded without any question. So there's going to be a larger budget item than what we're discussing this evening. And I can't support this proposal, and I can't support it for three reasons. When I was running for the county board, and listening to all the conversation about the redistricting, cost of doing this redistricting was never part of the conversation, nor was part of the conversation what we could get in the way of help from the various entities at the university, which might have, now that we know there's going to be costs, help reduce some of this cost. And I was cautioned by Ms. Deficy last week that there are great constraints on the county budget, and now we're being asked to approve $15,000, which we were not had not been a previous conversation. So for those three reasons, I can't support it.
Alan?
I was also at that meeting. I would also remind our newest board member that we have charged them to come up with a mapping commission to be drawn by cartographers and by professionals, so it's taken out of the hands of a political persuasion. And I would also remind her that $14,000 spread over 10 years census is not that big a cost. I would also remind her that we have debated this in terms of cost of what this is going to be many times. So the university is going to charge us something, and all this expertise that the university provides, they're just another entity. Now, we wrote in the resolution that it could be done by an inside agency or an outside agency, and that's, I think, leading towards what Stephanie was asking, if it was bid. But that being said, and because of the time element that we have in front of us, and the fact that we are taking it from planning in this year, which to me be as a benefit to us. I am fully in support of this. And so all the reasons that you gave, I think, are moot in terms of what we're trying to achieve here. So let's not be penny wise and pound foolish.
Carol?
I've been the one that has... I didn't believe that the commission was even something that we should do in the first place. The reason why I said that in the first place is simply because the responsibility of the county lies here at the county seat. And if we're going to ultimately use internal resources and agencies, that could have been allocated from this body, and the resources still would have been provided to this body in the same manner. And so I won't support it based on that. And I don't recall much conversation at all about a budget in relationship to this. I'd like to see all the minutes on that one because that was already an issue because we were dealing with so many budget woes. And so I think that this, again, is the penny pound and foolish. This is an example of that. And in the way of Mr. J, $1,000 is still $1,000. So I won't support that at all.
Other comments? John?
Well, I think that we all need to step back a minute and catch our breath. I heard Mrs. Busey indicate that some of these funds was not obligated, so it's not like we're going to come up really short somewhere down the road. The other thing I think that we all know, and it doesn't need saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, the public has told us they want us to do this project, and this looks like maybe the most efficient way to do it. I think that for those that don't want to support this, they're going against the public's wishes. And I am going to support it, and I'm going to encourage everybody else here to support this because we're running out of time to do it in an efficient and a proper perspective.
Other comments?
Okay.
Deb first, sorry, and then Lorraine. Go ahead, Deb.
Well, I just want to clarify a couple things to make sure you understand why you have the proposals before you. You, the county board, with the 2011 budget, have two contracts with the RPC. One is for the county planning work contract, which is $77,867. And we're recommending here that part of that resource, that county planner, be used for this project instead of something else. The other contract is with the GIS Consortium for special projects in the amount of $35,000. All we did with this recommendation is try and pay for the redistricting commission initiatives out of existing budgets by reassigning some work. If you are not interested in that approach, I would ask you to consider, should you then want to direct that a budget amendment be prepared to increase the budget by the amount of the resources that would be required for the redistricting commission, because they are a seated body. I understand what Ms. Adams is saying, and no, a budget was never discussed or established. And it was almost that we had to have the commission meet and establish itself and work with the RPC staff to determine exactly what scope of work they were going to require before we could come up with a budget, which is what has been done in the first two meetings of the commission. So I just want you to be aware. We didn't bring you two options. We brought you one option, but there is a second option if you choose not to do this one by directing that a budget amendment be prepared to increase the general corporate fund budget to pay for the work that the commission would need.
Lorraine?
Yeah, we want to know.
Could you use your mic? I'm sorry. Thank you.
I want to know, is there a time frame that we need to get this done?
The commission is scheduled to meet the first and third Wednesday starting February 2nd, and they have 3 months to get maps back to you. So it is very time critical. They should be receiving final census data sometime in February. So they will be beginning their work in February, and I think we need to know what resources they should be expected to use during the 2 or 3 month period in which they will have to prepare these maps for you.
Michael.
I would like to see this body not put this forward tonight for a couple different reasons. One of them is I think we do have more time on this than we think. As Ms. Busey just said, we are not expecting any census data till towards the end of February. So we are really not going to be able to do anything with this on the redistricting commission next month. We'll have hearings. We'll continue to talk about what people want to have in a map, but we won't have any data for the RPC to actually do that. And the other is, if we put this forward and voted as a budget amendment at our next meeting this month, we're basically saying to the redistricting commission that we approve of this process going forward, and I think that certainly needs to be tweaked because we went into this, the backers of this commission saying they wanted to make this more open, more accessible to the public, and it seems like from our first couple meetings, the redistricting commission, like some of the commissioners at least are wanting to move to narrow that a little bit. We've had some discussions and objections towards maps coming in and even being shown from the outside. And I do have concerns. Now, obviously, we put last month, I believe, into the final form for the redistricting commission that it would be helped by a GIS commission. But I always saw this as something that this commission would basically be drawing a map guided by RPC or whoever they used for technical expertise. And I think especially if we approve this, the road we're going down is basically RPC is going to draw these 25 maps with very little input from the commission, present them, and then the commission will basically take them up. And I don't think that that's really the optimal process we want to go through, and I think that we can improve.
John?
Where do I start? I'm confused because I've been, as a commissioner, at every meeting. And to sit here and listen that we are now not really in the position of being concerned with getting this map done. We've got plenty of time. Goes against what I've heard set out in public and what was in print. The other thing, too, is this is diversion of appropriated money that's already been put in place. It's there for projects for RPC and the GIS Consortium, which is part of this county, I will remind everyone. And somebody is always looking for something to do work with this kind of money. And this is a perfect example where this money can be applied to keep Mr. Levy, who is an expert at what he's going to do as we commission the RPC. This is once in 10 years. Like Mr. Newell, we spread these costs across 10 years. And what is really the cost? We're not hurting any other project from the RPC. We were told exactly tonight where the money is going to be diverted from, and it is not going to be a problem. And to go back, this board approved the guidelines for which RPC and this commission is going to judge maps by. It's right there. We all approved it. Whether or not you were on the side of approval is one thing, but it was approved by a majority of this county board to go ahead and here are the guidelines. And now all of a sudden, we don't know what the guidelines are. We don't know anything about it. I'm mystified at it. And the other thing, too, is this, the way the maps have been drawn the last 20 years is back rooms, smoke-filled rooms, and we all know it. Republicans did it, and then Democrats did it the last time, where you cut out one county board member out of the block, you cut her house right out, and the other county board member, you cut her house in half. That's the kind of stuff we want to get away from. It is open to the public. We have public meetings. And we're not going to get any public participation, unfortunately, till we get some maps out there so we can get some input. If somebody wants to bring a map in, They're welcome to do that. We've not said in that commission one time, and I dare you to bring that out, where we said, don't bring a map in. We have guidelines, and it's there for the public to see. This is a guidelines. The county board approved it. So I don't know where you're trying to go with this and stop this, but we need to move ahead with this. The commission is there. It's been put in place. The money needs to be put in. We're not going to spend it right away, but we need to be prepared. So we're ready to go. When the census data comes out, we're ready to go.
Lloyd, then Ralph, then Stephanie.
Yeah. I have a question for Dan. I think when the Muir Mill Street had the last redistricting.
Yes.
When we had the previous 10 years ago.
Right.
It was smooth. So what happened? That everything changed now, and it seems like to me the whole thing is being, you know, thrown out the bucket or something. Why is the cost so much different from the previous?
Because the process has been changed.
Huh?
Because the process has been changed.
The process?
Because you've established a redistricting commission.
Well, then why didn't somebody tell us about the new process again? That's the point. That's like some of the rest of the members, you know. Well, I don't understand what's going on here. It makes the cost so much more than the last time we had to redistrict this county. And you had how many different people on the commission now than it was before?
We established those through our own board. And I think Al said it during our caucus. I think that you were out for a couple of those discussions in those meetings when you were healing up.
Well, I still would rely on the rest of my board members to do the right thing. But why haven't they worked this out? If you're on the commission, got a job to do. Why haven't they did the job?
Commission is still meeting. Okay, is there anything else for now?
Well, here we have to vote on something. It don't seem like too many people know what's in the pie or what the deal is. So, you know, and I'm just trying to find out what is really going on.
Okay, first, let's go on to some other folks and continue the discussion. I had Ralph first.
I won't go any longer, but I can't support it either.
Okay, Ralph,
Z-Dub.
Microphone, please.
Some of the folks debating this issue are letting their enthusiasm run away with them. We did not all approve of this. It was a split vote. There was a spirited opposition to it. And furthermore, we did not specify how this commission was to be operated. So what the manner in which we proceed is, in fact, open to debate.
I had Stephanie next.
I wasn't a part of the board at the time. However, I did come to the meetings, and it was my recollection, and I don't have minutes in front of me, that the majority won. So you move forward, and the people voted. This is what they want, 76%, regardless of the numbers of people that turned out. 76% of the people in this county said, let's get a fair map. This commission cannot move forward until they're funded. We don't have maps to look at again. We cannot make decisions. Every single person in this room is welcome to those meetings. And I don't think every single person in this room has attended those meetings. My question regarding the map, I wanted to make sure that at this $14,744, which is reasonable over a 10-year period of time, and I have seen this county board spend more money, more frivolously, at the drop of the hat, for lesser reasons. This is to give a fair map to the people. Let it be done. I will support this 100%.
Right. As we continue, Michael, I know I've got you, but I'm going to do round two. I'm going to let everybody else speak that hasn't spoken first. I've got Astrid, then Al next, and then Pius. Okay. But I've got you. Astrid now. And microphone, please.
We set up a commission which was very carefully nonpartisan. And the first thing they did is say that two outside groups should make all the maps. And what assurance do we have that those are not partisan? You know, if they are turning the map making over to these groups, well, is there any assurance that they are nonpartisan?
Anything else on this? Okay, Alvin Pius.
I just want to make a correction, I think. Unless I'm going to get the facts straight, I may be incorrect, but if the redistrict commission was an internal resolution by this board, the vote on the ballot was for a smaller board of 20-11. It had nothing to do with redistricting, had nothing to do with a fair map. The voters voted for a smaller board of 22-11, which we acceded to. But the redistrict commission and anything that came out of that came from this board, not from the public. Not that position.
Pius.
I'm going to support this amendment for a simple reason. Generally not happy with the commission, I'll tell you that. However, this board did vote to create the commission. And I feel that we should give them that chance to do that. I will remind you, this is an advisory board. In answer to Astrid's question, no, there's no guarantee, but we do not have to accept what they give us. They are an advisory board. This board decided to create the commission to see if they could do that, to see if they could make a map that was happy, that made most people happy. I'm not sure if it's going to, make me happy. I have my doubts. But on the other hand, we made this decision. And this money, again, is not coming out of somebody else's pocket, per se. It's all delegated to a planning type or GIS type argument. So I'm happy with that. I don't feel guilty at all about not going to the University of Illinois to get their expertise. Because I can tell you, in the area of GIS, the university was not necessarily one of the first ones to get to that. I can tell you that a couple of surveys on campus that were not part of the university at the time were not, the National History Survey, the State Geological Survey, got the GIS long before the university did. If you look at the records for the survey, their license for ARC Info was number 27. I'm sure that number is now over 100,000. They were the 27th entity in the world to get an ARC Info license to use GIS software, and I suspect, I'm sure they're the first ones to this time to use that information. So again, this is the advisory board. This board agreed to set them up and find in. Let's see what they can do. Therefore, I will support this.
Steve O'Connor.
Thank you. I just am more concerned about the process than the money. Now, don't quote me that I don't care about the money. But the process, to me, there's a difference between an advisory board and a board that has some oversight. And I hope that the board is planning on riding herd on it, whoever does this, to make sure we've got a decent product at the end, or it's all for nothing.
Other first time, Stan, did you talk the first time around?
I've never talked.
I'm so used to you talking. Has he talked yet?
No.
Wow. This is a record. Just mark this time in history. Stan.
Put it down. I'm sitting here listening to all this, and being the country boy that I am from L.A., I just can't believe it. We set this all out. How much fair can it be? We've got a balance. We have community members helping with this. I mean, I guess I would just throw out an alternative. I'll draw the map for nothing. But come on, folks. It's supposed to be fair. We're supposed to move along with this. We're arguing over really nothing. I mean, I just think this is great. It's open. Everybody can come. And I'm hearing all these comments. I'm sitting here like, I can't believe it. It's like a soap opera. Let's move it on.
Other first-time commenters, Chris.
I'd like to make a motion that Stan James draw the map of El Costa and the county board.
There you go.
I'm going to withdraw my motion. I was generally planning on voting against this tonight solely based on the fact that at the Democratic Caucus, a couple of members who were on the redistricting commission indicated that they felt like there was an opportunity to look at other potential providers based on some comments that were made. But I have a few things to say. I was at the redistricting commission the other night. I thought the presentation by RPC was capable. I am disappointed that it doesn't seem like there was an effort to go out and identify other potential resources in the community that could help with this, other than just going to the RPC and GIS consortium. I'm less concerned about the GIS consortium because of that. I'm familiar with their work from having served in other boards. I mean, they essentially are the clearinghouse for all mapping data for public agencies in Champaign County, and I would be dumbfounded if there was anybody who could do this at lower cost or with a higher level of confidence than they can. I appreciate the fact that we already have money allocated to RPC for some less than fully specified projects which could be allocated to this, and so I commend the administrator for finding ways in which we might be able to do this without investing, you know, cash. I guess what this comes down to for me at this point is, you know, the past county board approved this redistricting commission. The voters indicated they wanted a small county board. I mean, this commission exists. This commission has to go forward, and basically for us at this point to deny it what seems like a small amount of administrative funding to do their job seems inadvisable. So I am now going to vote in favor of this. I would hope that the members of the redistricting commission who I've talked to about this, who said that they would talk to the chair of the redistricting commission about identifying other resources, seeing if there are ways that we can save money here, would do so. But I think we need to send a signal to the redistricting commission, and that signal isn't, yeah, we were all in favor of this last month, and now we're not going to give you any money to draw maps. So I will support this, but I will support this in the hopes that there is some investigation by the commission in terms of potentially other resources in the community that may be able to help with this.
Other first-time commenters.
I have one.
First time. Hold on. You already spoke the first time around, so I'm gonna. Michael was up first, and then I'll go with you, Lloyd, after Michael. Okay. Oh, Michael's passing. Lloyd.
You know, I don't complain too much, but before I knew what was going to be, you know, what my district would be like when they redistrict. Now I don't know nothing. We had meeting, Mr. James. We had meeting. The committee went out and drew up the map and come back, and we all had a meeting and know what we were going to be content with. We don't have that now. All I know is to vote on something. I don't know where it's going to end up, my district, or nothing. No boundaries, no nothing. So don't tell me that I'm going to vote on it a lot. That's what it'd be. If I vote on it, I'm lying, because I don't know nothing. And I know the commission could have had a staff of map or something and brought back to this board and called on me and sit down and worked it out. That have been done. I'm finished.
Alan.
Busey has the 2211 resolution handy.
I did not bring that folder with me. I can go get it.
Well, I know what point it was because Brendan and I wrote the thing up. But point five. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this at this time? James.
Yeah, I intend to support this, mostly because I believe we have asked some individuals to do this for us, and it requires professional help. And like Chris, I agree that the help that we're paying for is good help and knows what it's doing. I do believe, though, that as a board, we have to watch how this group does their work, what criteria they pass to these professionals, and be aware of that so that when the end result comes to us, we do have the ultimate decision of accepting a map, approving a map. And if we feel like that they have not done that in a fair manner, that would be the time for that. The group that's doing this work has to understand that there is a set of politicians sitting in this room that's going to scrutinize their end result, and they have to do their work in as fair a manner as possible so that it can withstand our scrutiny at the end.
Alan, are you about ready?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the specific clause here for a second. Keep going. Sorry.
Anyone else? Stan, I knew he couldn't stop.
Can I call the question? We got a motion? Or?
If there's no further discussion, you can take a vote. You know?
Understand. I understand, Ralph. Just waiting to see if, because he's trying to draw something from the resolution itself, might be helpful. I'm letting this one go a little bit longer. This is good discussion.
I'm fine. Go ahead.
Okay. If there's no other discussion, I'll only add that you just heard them, and to shorten this, for the reasons that John and Pius, Chris and James stated specifically, I'm in agreement. I'm going to be supporting this. Anything else? Patsy?
As a new board member, I'd like a clarification question. There was an alternative that was previously mentioned about a budget amendment. Can you help me appreciate the difference of the form it's in now or the form of it being a budget amendment? And what is the procedure to change it to a budget amendment?
The procedure to change it to a budget amendment would be to direct that an amendment be prepared for you to vote on at the meeting. You could send it to the January 27th board meeting to appropriate additional $14,744 in the county board budget to go to the redistricting commission. With what you have before you, there is no additional money to be appropriated. It's coming from money that's already been appropriated.
Diane?
I can appreciate the money coming from RPC. I remember up here and having the big spreadsheet of what they had, what they were going to spend, and then it was, okay, well, where do you want the items spent? Down at the bottom, there were some things that with a woulda, coulda, shoulda type thing. I would much rather see it spent on this than some of the other things that we were trying to come up with at the end to spend that since it's already in our budget. I absolutely right.
James?
Deb, if you could clarify for me, my understanding was the department heads did not believe that they would be able to utilize this money in this fiscal year. So the work that we're displacing would have to go through the budget process for next year.
In the GIS project, I believe that's true, that the addressing project being put on hold for 6 to 8 months is not a bad thing for those department heads to work more towards being ready for the actual GIS end of that project.
Well, I think we've beaten this up enough, and I would suggest a roll call on this. Is everyone okay with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Roll call, please.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammon?
No.
Bergson?
No.
Carter?
Carter?
No.
Covert? No.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Kurtz? Yes. Kurtz? Langenheim?
No.
McGinty?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Nudo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
No.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
No.
Rosales?
Yes.
Schrader?
Yes.
Weibel?
Yes.
Motion carries.
That motion carries. Thank you very much. Good discussion. Is that all, Deb, from your report?
Yeah.
Okay. With the treasurer and the auditor both not here, I'll entertain an omnibus to place both of their reports on file by Brad. Is there a second? By Geraldo. Any discussion on those? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Under other business, an agreement between Champaign County Board and Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation. Is there a motion for approval? By Al and Al, and second by Ralph. Discussion. Stan.
Well, I see we're going to give some more money to that out of our funding. And here we just had this big discussion, but I want to read something from the last minutes, if I may, December 14th. Kurtz announced that they will be able to reopen the courthouse help desk for the next year. They have come up with either private donations or grants with the help of Cameron Moore from RPC, Valerie McWilliams from Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance, Roger Holland and Linda Brink from the courthouse. Kurtz thanked the individuals for their support. They are looking for a more permanent solution. The help desk will reopen in January. Now I see we have a thing where we're going to kick in there, so I don't understand what's going on at this point, as Mr. Carter would say. Someone didn't give me the information, apparently. But I thought that was all agreed to and done, and now it's back on our agenda, and I just, at this point, do not support giving money since we're having a budget shortfall.
Hold on. All right. Are you done?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm done.
Go ahead, Al.
I like this one. When I mentioned Roger Holland and Linda Frank, that money is budgeted by this board, but it's for the legal defense, it's for the legal library that's administrated by Roger Holland. He asked that we move $3,000 from that to the Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Fund from his budget, $3,000. We have to approve that so he can make that move. Okay? That's the first thing. That money is already in his budget. All we're doing is moving it per his request to the Land of Lincoln and self-help desk at the courthouse to save him money that it's going to cost him for those thousands of people who need help that are going to be going to the circuit clerk, going to the public defender for help, and for wasting the time of the court when they come to court with improper paperwork. The help desk has helped thousands of people to help the complexity of the courthouse and save time and money for the court system. That's why Roger Holland was able to pull and wanted to pull, and Linda Frank said the same thing. As circuit clerk, she says, we're getting inundated since December, since it was closed, with people asking questions about legal advice that we cannot give them, and is tying up their time and money. And so that $3,000 is coming from out of his budget, but we have to approve that.
As a point of clarification, if I may, so there is, and Deb, please correct me if I'm wrong, like the last item, this is not an amendment. We're not going to be spending, we're not going to be amending to spend more out of our budget. There is $2,000 coming from our conferences and training line with the county board, and so we won't be attending conferences or training, but that's what's happening there. Now, again, the same rules as far as two times around. I'm going to go with Diane first. And Stan, I'm going to cue you up.
I apologize. To me, the information we're given is this agreement. This agreement just says that the county agrees to pay Land of Lincoln $5,002 payments. Doesn't say where it's coming or anything like that. I think this is extremely vague if that was the point, because the way the agreement's written, it looks like the county owes the money.
Others on round one. John.
Yeah, I find it a little ironic that the Land of Lincoln is in business specifically to serve the public, to those who need help and can't get it by other means. And why are we funding the Land of Lincoln to do their jobs? I really don't understand that. And my other concern is, once we start this, we've locked in ourselves into another program for the rest of our lives. I think it's a mistake. I don't think we ought to be doing this.
Again, Al, I'm at round two, you, Michael.
This is not actually a budget amendment, though, correct? Just the agreement?
That's correct. Anything else there, Michael? Okay, Carol?
Just a question of clarity, why the agreement was written in this way instead of saying where the money is actually coming from.
Go ahead.
Because I believe the agreement was drafted by Land of Lincoln, and
they really don't care which line items in the county budget it comes from. It's just coming from Champaign County.
Alan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm really not satisfied with Mr. Kurtz's answer. It really circumvented the question of was there any county money coming to us, coming to this fund? And he failed to mention that $2,000 is coming out of, you know, county coffers, whether it's for travel or conferences. I, you know, I can appreciate what Al's trying to do, but he has been chastised many times by a number of people on this board for doing the lone wolf thing. Representing the county board, going to Cameron Moore, I think is inappropriate. He is not the board chair. We did not direct him to do that. He is not the board chair. We didn't direct him to go to Roger Holland. We have a right as a county board to act as a group to make these kinds of decisions. And he has constantly decided he's going to be the one, Mr. I, me, my, I'm going to get it done. And that is not right in the context of what we're trying to do here as a board, whether it's 27 members, which he advocates, or 22 members. The key thing is we do this as a group. Now, I know when personally I do something, I bring it to the board 2 or 3 weeks in advance and let everybody chew on it so that we can talk about it and go over things. This kind of stuff, which is brought to us and circumvented as to where the money's really come from, really, really makes me mad. And I don't appreciate anybody telling me they went to a windmill farm to talk and negotiate for me. I don't appreciate these going to Roger Holland and going to Cameron Moore to do the work of the board. Mrs. Hammond's just pointed out that she'd like to have more points, that we have more control over what we do. I have no control over this. I have no control over what the negotiations were. I have nothing to say. I do not want to see this happen again. There was another time that Mr. Kurtz said he went to some to State Farm and was going after a grant for some flat board. And he was chastised then by Mr. Knott for not taking this to the board. He said, quote, I will not do it again. I apologize. We have a trend here. Thank you.
Al, I'm coming to you in round two. Hold on. Anybody else in round one that has not spoken to this issue yet? Ralph.
I think the more important question here, rather than the procedure, is do we or do we not need this facility? And I think the answer to that is obviously we do. So let's go ahead and vote for it.
Other first rounders. Stephanie.
All right, well, I have to agree with Mr. J. The land of Lincoln Legal Assistance has they're an entity. If they can't raise the funds, why should the taxpayers support this organization? I realize that there is a need. I'm not doubting that there is a need. I think we all agree that there is a need, but this is an organization that is responsible for funding itself, not the county board.
Other first-time comments. Pius.
Well, I agree. The mere fact that Mr. Stephen said if there is a need, I think that's why the county board should look at that. And obviously the Land of Lincoln doesn't have a fund right now to support that. And I think that's the reality. Therefore, I think it's a good idea that the county board step in and take a look at that responsibility, certainly for this next year, for this calendar year. Next year might be a different story, but in the meantime, there is chances for other opportunities for money. People can explore that, but I think it's worthwhile that we fund it for this next year.
Okay, we're in round two. Now in round two. Round two, just hold on. Others in round one, Chris.
I just want to mention, I've heard from numerous people in the community expressing their support for this resource at the courthouse, including attorneys and people who've said that this does help facilitate the smooth administration of justice at the Champaign County Courthouse, and people who aren't able to or don't have their own representation able to come in and just ask a simple question about, hey, how do I do this? The Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation does indeed not have the funding to do this, but nor are they under any official obligation to provide this service. And in fact, that's why they canceled it, because they didn't have the money to do it, not because it wasn't necessary. So this seems like a very reasonable amount of money for the county to pay to help facilitate the interaction of the public with our professionals at the courthouse, and I would support it.
Other first-time comments? Steve?
Thank you. It looks to me like we're on the brink of a pay-me-now or pay-me-later deal. If we can implement this program and keep people from working extra, I don't know how you ever put a handle on it. But Lynn has already expressed her grief for her crew that this was causing. And I just really do feel that it's a pay me now or pay me later deal.
Right. I might just add, remember, as board members, at any time we can make a motion to amend what's on the table so that we can modify. I don't know that we think about doing that enough to get something through. So any other first-timers? Astrid.
It's my understanding that when this was funded by the Land of Lincoln, it was not with their money. It was county money from the law library or something. And that they granted it to Land, gave it to Land of Lincoln to administer this program. But that we've been actually supporting it all along. It's our money, even though it comes from somewhere in the courthouse.
Anyone else who hasn't spoken to this issue yet? James.
So I'd agree with Mr. Moser's assessment and say that this is a reasonable price. Oh, sorry. I read the wrong thing.
They seem similar.
Okay. But a small price to pay to keep the wheels of justice moving smoothly. And I would second Brendan's comment that if it's not meeting board members' approval on points of information, and that amendments are possible. This is the committee of the whole.
Anyone else in round one? In round two, I have three so far: Stan, then Al, then Carol.
Well, I sort of feel like I'm sitting at the State House and we're debating the budget over what we need to help and not help, and we really don't have all the funds that we think we do. My understanding was this was originally in the budget that was given to the courthouse. They moved the money to other avenues other than this. Am I not right? So now we're going back and going to give them more money because we feel it's the right thing. And folks, I just heard a big debate about a map. And now I'm hearing this that, oh, let's give it to them because they need it. Well, I know a lot of agencies and a lot of folks that need a lot of help. But guess what? I only got so much money in my bank account. And I think the taxpayers we're here representing want us to do the right thing. There's a lot of people we should be helping. A lot of people. But we're here to do the business for all and to maintain the structures we need to maintain. We keep giving it away, and pretty soon we're going to be running a deficit. And everybody in here is going to say, well, what happened? Well, I'm going to tell you what happened. It's because nobody likes to say no. And if anybody in here, and I know Carol does, and I know I have, we've had children, and no's a hard thing to do, but it's necessary. And in this case, we were told there was going to be other funds, other money, and what we're talking here would not be that hard to raise. Organizations, I just heard the Salvation Army met their goal plus. If they really are that interested in this, then those in here that are really on favor of this should be out campaigning and trying to raise those funds to help everybody. That's what I would do, you know, instead of sitting here and giving away money that someone's given us to do a job. So that's my comment. I won't support it for that reason because we need to watch those budgets. We've asked our staff to take pay cuts. We've frozen elected officials' wages. And then we're going to turn around and continue to give money away, and I don't see the reason.
Al, then Carol, then Diane.
I don't know where to start. Where they're coming out with, we're adding more money. I don't remember saying we're adding more money. We're moving from the original budget that's in the courthouse from one line to another. $3,000 of the law library's money is being allocated for the self-help desk by the court administrator, Mr. Roger Holland. In support is the circuit clerk, Ms. Linda Frank. Secondly, I am an elected official. I am not beholden to Mr. Udo or anyone else in this room. I was elected by my district
overwhelmingly, you want to talk about percentages, 65% voted for me. I guess the people in my district like what I do. And if I have to be a lone wolf sometimes because no one else wants to step up to the plate, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And if you don't like it, they'll vote me out the next time. And probably not. Because they like what I do. Because I work for the community, not for self-interest. This self-help desk is an important part of our community. It helps those who can't afford an attorney to transverse the confusion of the courthouse when you walk into it. I thought I knew about the courthouse when I went there for my own civil case 2 years ago. The judge kicked me out of court twice. I wasted his time and the court's time because I didn't have the proper paperwork. When I went to the self-help desk, they helped me traverse the court system. It saved time and money. Now, there is no additional money coming from anywhere. It's being transferred from the original budget. Period. And if you don't like the way I work, well, that's too bad. Talk to my constituents. They like my work. They like me going out and getting wind farms and thousands of jobs for this county. They like me taking the initiative while the rest of us, some of us, sit back and do nothing. Don't read our work. Don't come prepared. I come prepared every week. I spend hours at home reading and researching and investigating whatever subject we have.
If we can stay on the topic.
Well, it is, because
I know, but specific to the
fume gear, okay, and I'm not going to stand for it.
Okay.
Period. I'm an elected official, and I will follow my constituents' feelings, their policies, and what they want from me, and they want me to do exactly what I've been doing. Like it, it's too bad.
Carol?
I can say it five times. I had three or four people say the same thing.
All right, Carol.
I just want to draw our attention. This is always a really interesting debate when it comes to allocating money to the poor in any community. It's very difficult to do, no matter how big or small the amount is. If we were talking about allocating $2,000 to the map drawing, I could see the equivalency between that discussion and moving $2,000 from our travel budget at the county level. However, if we go back into our packets that we have tonight and look simply at the account summary of how much money comes to this county from fees, from the courthouse, which comes from the patrons of the courthouse, we should not actually really have this discussion, because if this was not here, how much of that would affect our actual county budget? So to tell the people on one hand that we certainly will take your fees and we'll add more fees and more fees and more fees to the county coffers, but we will not allow any services to assist you who cannot afford an attorney to get through the process. That's the biggest problem in politics that I've ever seen. And the first thing to be cut in all budgets, even at the state level, you write this is a state conversation in a county level boardroom, because the state is doing the exact same thing, cutting out the services to the people, but keeping the pensions and the plans and the expenditures at the top level. We do not want to do that, because these members in this room argued last week about not raising fees on the business community for zoning. I don't understand it. So $2,000 from the county, and I'm okay, we already voted to freeze our wages a long time ago, that was fine, but $2,000 and we get $186,000, and if you look at the complete summary, $846,000, we really are off point on this particular issue. We need the help desk, because I've seen people go in there, women who are having to file petitions for protection and cannot do it because they don't understand, and they go to that help desk and people are there to help them. It is a ridiculous point for us to not support it with $2,000.
Several Diane, then Stephanie, then Chris, then Alan, then Michael. Diane.
If we can get back to the agreement itself, that is a big part, what I have a big problem with, is the way the agreement is written. If the law library, and just bear with me, if the law library before was giving them the money, and then they decided not to give them the money, and now all of a sudden they decide to give them the money, I just feel like there probably maybe needs to be more commitment from that law library in the funding for this. I don't have a problem trying to help people. There are a lot of, there's men's shelters, women in transition, crisis centers. There's a lot of places that need help. But if we've already asked somebody to help before, now they're pulling their money out until somebody goes and says, hey, you really shouldn't have done that. Then I guess maybe what I'm looking at is maybe we should have some sort of a commitment from them to retain this. Because honestly, I think we're going to see this again next year. And that's what bothers me the most. Is if this is that important, then maybe this is something they should fund all the time. And they shouldn't just be monkeying around with it.
Stephanie?
As a board member for the Center for Women and Children in Transition, I do know that there are several ways for women that are in the poverty level to get assistance to help them through the court system. So there are funds available from other organizations to help them. And as a board member, I have seen a lot of the situations that occurred that they have had housing, food, shelter, many variables of help provided to them. I don't think that this is to do anything. This discussion isn't about the poor. It isn't about the business community, and I think that that's an unfair statement. What's concerning is that the agreement, the way it's written, I don't like it. It looks like it's an ever-ending. There's no stop. There's a beginning, and there's no stop. I never said there wasn't a need and that we shouldn't be helping people that are in need, but there are many organizations in Champaign County that have legal services available to them when people come to them. They did the Center for Women and Children took over a woman's place. There is legal help for many people, and they do service men as well, and children and women. So it's not exclusive to any one male, female, whatever. So I think we need to dispel that. The Land of Lincoln is a wonderful service that has been provided to our community, and I think how we if we are going to help people in a services or service-oriented way, there's $5,000, $3,000 that's already been acclimated to the system. So why can't we just make an amendment to this agreement that we remove or we take back the $3,000 that has been already allocated and remove the $5,000 and make it more specific so that determines where these funds are coming from so that it doesn't look like the county is providing $5,000 of support outside of a budget item that we've already had. So I'd really rather, instead of get emotional about it, let's get factual about it. If there are funds that are available, then that were already budgeted. But again, I think we have to look at the fact that there are other service providers in the community that can help. And I think we need to send a clear message to Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance that if they're going to continue the service, that they start with a fundraiser, do something in order that they are able to raise the funds instead of coming to county government to support a volunteer service-oriented entity.
Chris, then Allen.
I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Roll call will certainly happen. I'm feeling the love. Anything else there? Alan?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't mention in my original diatribe, and the irony of this whole thing is I am voting for this for the very reason that some of you are talking about. My complaint is on the methodology. And I want to go back to that again because we have Mr. Richards, who heads up justice. He could have been talked to. We have the chair who could have been asked to see if this could be something that a committee could be put together, et cetera. And it's time and time again that this is the procedure that we work on. And that's not the job of a single member. You may be representing your constituents, Mr. Kurtz, but the proper way to do that is to go through that. We've had private conversations about that, so you know I'm not speaking out of turn here. We have had private conversations on this subject with you and I. And that's my point. So I'm asking that in the future we have $2,000 coming out of county budget money. This should have been discussed. It should have been had some discussion in a full board meeting. And I'm sure this is going to pass because I'm going to vote for it too. But the point is the methodology. And to fall back on my constituents vote me and they love me and so on and so forth has nothing to do with proper procedure of this body. Nothing.
Okay, Michael, and then Astrid, and then Pius.
Okay. We are going to need to have a budget amendment when we actually vote on the money. Is this right? Okay. No? Okay.
It's just transfers, right?
It's just,
yep, so this is like the last item.
Well, I want to urge everybody to vote for this. It sounds like it probably has a majority, but you never know because... Honestly, I really think that this is a core county function and that this is the least that we can do. It's amazing that half an hour ago, $15,000 was not much money, and now $2,000 is a ton of money. This is clearly going to help the functioning of the county's criminal justice system. And I think, broader than that, I think that we should all feel that making it easier for everybody to get proper representation is something that we should aspire to. Not specifically for my previous point, because it will make the county's criminal justice system function better, but because it's going to help us have a slightly more just county, and I think that I think the assumption is here that this is going to allow us as citizens to have a little bit better running court system, sorry if I said criminal justice system specifically before, for everybody.
Astrid, and then Pius, and hopefully we're near the end, then Ralph. Astrid.
Last week we had...
Can you come up closer to your mic? Thank you.
We had a long discussion about how important it was for us to subsidize developers and contractors, that we shouldn't raise their fees so that they paid even closer to what their services cost. So we are all subsidizing them. And the people who think it's important for us to subsidize developers and contractors are the ones that think we don't need to subsidize the poor.
Pius, then Ralph.
Ms. Busey, is it possible to take this agreement and perhaps rewrite it to fit the manner that we're used to and perhaps have new time with you to make sure we don't get into trouble by promising something that some members of the board
didn't
work
without happening? Sure. I mean, we could add a subparagraph under number 2, which delineates the sources of the funding, and I don't imagine Wayne Lincoln would have an objection. So we would say that from those two $2,500 payments, $3,000 will be appropriated from the Law Library Fund, and $2,000 will be appropriated from the General Corporate County Board Budget Fund. It's internal, and when we receive these invoices, we will make sure that that's how they're paid, but we could certainly add language to the agreement if that helps.
Ralph, then Patsy, then Stan.
I'd just like to comment upon this notion that we have to follow a procedure. I don't always appreciate what my colleague Kurtz does, but I would like to submit that I haven't seen him do anything in this instance that any citizen of the county could have done. We have the right to interview to approach our public officials and to call them to account, and that is what he's done. We have a right to call on to cooperate in projects which we wish to promote. That's what he has done. He has not violated any procedure, and we should not make any attempts to restrict ourselves in these matters.
Patsy, then Stan.
Yes.
I would like to move the two suggestions that Ms. Busey just stated, but in addition, in my amendment, I would like to include a clear end date and that any further review of this kind of support needs to come before the board again.
What
point of information? Doesn't it state an end date?
Yeah, it does. Number one.
October 15th of 2011.
That's all. It doesn't say an end date.
I assume that implies an end date.
Does it, in legal language, does that mean an end date? Okay, I can accept that.
Now, a parliamentary question would be if we can be specific enough to amend, or if we need to vote on this with final approval happening at full board with the revised revisions as we specify tonight, which is probably the path based on what I've seen us do in the past. So we make the recommendations, we move this on to full board for consideration at the full board with those revisions.
You can amend it tonight.
How specific can we?
Okay, here's what I've got. Under number two, at the end of the sentence request, it would, the second sentence, each quarterly invoice shall be paid as follows. A, $1,500 from the Law Library Fund. B, $1,000 from the General Corporate Fund, County Board budget. That's number two. Champaign County will make two payments of $2,500 each upon receipt of quarterly payment requests. And then add the second sentence, each quarterly invoice shall be paid as follows. A, B.
I'll second that amendment.
There wasn't an initial. Oh, I'm sorry. So is that acceptable to the. Okay, so Patsy has moved that amendment. James has seconded it. Brad.
Deb, can you refresh my memory? When this was brought before us before, wasn't the total cost that we were asked to put in $12,000? And can you tell me, where has the rest of the money come from? I'm just curious.
I can't answer that. Previously, the County Law Library Fund funded this program. It made a two-year commitment to fund this program, and that was the annual level of funding that they provided. It ended when fiscal year 2010 ended. And so
we were asked to provide $12,000.
Well, during the budget process last August, because that's what had previously been received. And that...
Al?
Let me break down.
And to the amendment? Is this so to
well,
the amendment?
I'll second the amendment.
No, the amendment's been seconded by the comments about the amendment.
Okay.
Just making sure. Because if I, what I want to do is get past the amendment.
There seems to be confusion at where the money's coming from. Right?
No, but
should I break it down? Or the money other than the county board money. But towards this, I would agree to this amendment.
Okay. Anything else on this, specifically to the amendment from Patsy, seconded by James? Is a voice vote okay on the amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. That motion carries. We're back to the main motion as amended. Al.
Okay. What happened was Roger Holland revised his budget. Because of the cuts in the budget over the last 2 years, they had to find a place for cuts at 6%. And he took, at that point, it was $15,000 away from this help desk. Okay? And that was his choice, his right as the administrator of the courthouse in that budget. When the help desk was going to close December 1st, no one seemed to step up to say, well, how are we going to continue this? So I took the initiative and went out and talked to Cameron Moore at the RPC, and he was kind enough to look through his hundreds of line items and found $2,500 in grant. One time. I want you to understand that this is all a one-time only cover for this next year. After that, we're going to look for additional monies from private sources. This will not come back to the board again. That's the first thing I want you to understand. He found $2,500. I sat down with the Land of Lincoln
and Valerie McWilliams, and we found $1,000 in private donations. Because I knew the courthouse was going to be affected seriously because I had had personal experience with the help desk, I sat down with the administrator, Roger Holland, and Linda Frank, the circuit clerk, who was already being inundated by questions, and they could not answer, and they were turning away people. Roger Holland brought in the law library secretary, and they were able to work out $3,000 out of their budget, the legal law library, for the help desk. Linda Frank agreed and said it would be very helpful because it would save her the time and money that it's going to cost them over the next few years to cover the cost of helping or just wasting the time of their people. I then went to the chair with a meeting with the administrator and asked what I wanted to add a budget amendment to for this board to vote on. But because we discussed it and felt that we didn't want to add any more money to the budget, we looked for another way to fund some money. We found it in a line item, convention and travel, and were able to discuss with the chair and with the administrator that we could move that money over as long as the board would approve the funds we found. There is no additional money. This is not an ongoing request. This is a one-time only so that we can cover for the next 10 months to a year. We also went to the Bar Association, who is now in discussions about adding some dollars to this as well, to bring it up to about $10,000 for us to be able to understand where this money is going. So I just want you to, I wanted to get the whole thing out so you understood what took place here. And I hope certainly we can vote for this main motion.
Yeah, I'd like to try to get to a close here. Carol first.
It's really quick. I just wanted to correct Mr. Kurtz, and I've already spoken to Mr. Holland. I know Mike had also reached out when we heard about this. We didn't initially know, but once we did, and I found out that Mr. Kurtz was going to go and have these meetings, there was no need for all of us to call all of these other entities. And so that's why, Mr. Kurtz, we were aware that he was working on this process.
Stan, and then Lorraine.
And I'll be real quick. I just wanted to comment. I would do anything to help most anybody. When I hear this about the fees on the zoning and other fees, I tend to usually vote no because a fee is a tax. I don't care what anybody says. But when I'm hearing all this argument and we put things in the budget, my thing, even in the Board of Health, I tell everybody, that's fine. We're paying people to sit there and offer help, but we're paying them a salary. I would much rather take that money, give it to that individual or that family. Parking ought to be free. Fees ought to be lower. Then we wouldn't need to have all these budget amendments and spend the taxpayers' money. But we continue to increase things because we have to cover those costs and to help everybody.
Lorraine, and then John.
Okay, I want to thank Mr. Kurtz for doing this. And I'm going to say I'm going to vote for the Sierra and the Health, for this health test. And also I'd like to call for the question.
You're calling for the question. Let me go ahead. We've got one more, if that's all right. John is usually pretty brief. John,
I will be really brief. I think one of the things that we've all lost sight of, and if you looked at the terminology in here, this was never meant to be a desk for legal advice. This was meant to be a desk to navigate people through the courthouse. And what's happened, we have people that go up there with legal questions that sometimes the folks can't answer, depending on their background, and sometimes they can help. But this was never intended to be what it's turned out to be, and that's part of the problem. It was strictly to navigate people through the courthouse, and now we're trying to turn it into a legal assistance.
All right, this has been very good discussion. We're going to go ahead and have a roll call on this. Roll call, please.
Alex?
Yes.
Hammond?
Yes.
Bergson?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Covert?
Yes.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
Jones?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes.
Langenheim?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Nudo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Schrader?
Yes.
Weibel?
Yes.
McGinty?
Yes. Motion carries. With the chair's report, I'm just going to say very briefly, that's what committee of the whole is all about. I mean, we get an opportunity to really beat this up a little bit. Took long, I'm always frustrated by things taking so long, but this is where we do this. This was good discussion. I'll encourage us to stay on point and to not make it personal. I think that makes the discussion more useful. With that discussion, the designation of items for consent, it is just B, 1, 2, and 4. Everything else is off of consent. And with that, we're finally done with finance. Thank you.
Next up is policy posting appointments. Ms. Evans, please.
Appreciate that, Mr. McGinty. I think this is where it all is supposed to happen to. All right, policy personnel appointment. We have a few vacancies to fill, and I'll move to the chair for his selection in item A1.
Yes, Michelle Pickham, the Health and Health Board. A selection of William Gleason Jr. and Michael McClellan. Terms January 28, 2011 to December 31st, 2014.
All right. The chair has made a selection as Michael McClellan. Is there a second for that? Thank you, Ms. McGinty. Any discussion on that appointment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Michael McClellan has been chosen for that position. Item two is Ravenna.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. William Gleason as well. There's two seats.
I'm sorry. Who is your second choice?
He did both. William Gleason and Michael.
Oh, I did hear him say both names. Thank you. There were two selections for Champaign County Mental Health Board. William Gleason Jr. and Michael McClellan. And that vote from the board was in support of those two people. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Item two is Urbana Sanitary District Board. And this position is as a result of resignation from Christopher Alex, who's on our board, and we need to appoint a person to fill his unfulfilled term from January 28, 2011 to May 31st, 2013. Mr. Chair, and your selection for that position is?
My selection is Ms. Jennifer Putnam.
Ms. Jennifer Putnam is selected by the chair. Is there a second? Ms. Culver seconds that selection. Yes, sir, Mr. Chair.
This was an extremely difficult decision to make. We have three good candidates, including Mr. Zero here. Let me say that Tony, of course, grew up in this area and does have perfect experience, but only recently moved back to Champaign-Urbana. I look forward to appointing him to some other board position in the future, perhaps just for both Barbara Saki and Jenny Putnam have long, active, and distinguished careers on the Champaign County Board, as well as on other entities. As you know, Barb served for 12 years and Jenny for 30 years. Both were known for being meticulously prepared, fully reading the prepared material, both often in search for additional information on items before them. Again, this was a very difficult choice because both candidates were well qualified and experienced in this type of activity. However, I felt that Ms. Putnam's background had one advantage, that she has a reading planning, which I think fits in very well with what has happened with the Central District Club. Obviously, it's planning for future growth. It is worked hand in hand with developers and things like that. So for that reason, I selected her for this Central District position.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any further discussion on this appointment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
Aye.
Thank you. That passes. And item number three is Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District Board to fill vacancy caused by the death of Mr. John Chadle, term from January 28, 2011 to December 31st, 2013. Mr. Chair, your selection in that position.
My selection is Mr. Bradley Dial.
Mr. Bradley Dial, is there a second for Mr. Bradley Dial? Yes, sir, it's been seconded. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Again, both these candidates were on the next possibilities. Ms. Chaplin was a longtime bus user, now retired from UMI. She's with the Library Committee of Bus Relations. While serving on campus, she served in every several UMI committees that concern public transportation on campus. Therefore, was well qualified. I would point out, though, that she's working in the Labor and Bus Relations Department. The board already has a member from that particular area, so there's overlap there. Mr. Dial, as he stated, as we drove him away, he's an engineer with the Champaign Fire Department. An engineer means that he drives one of the large trucks that is his primary job. These trucks are similar in size to MTD buses, which I think is very important when you think about planning and making policy decisions with the MTD. In addition, he actually attended bus driver school for MTD for a short time period, although he did not complete because of scheduling problems some years ago. He also works part-time as a construction company that has worked on several MTD buildings, so therefore he's very familiar with the physical layout and the facilities. For that reason, I selected him. I think he'd be a good addition to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any more discussion on this appointment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. Mr. Bradley Deal was selected for Champaign-Urbana-Manchester as a district. Number four is Locust Grove Cemetery Association. We received his resignation in our packet, and we're trying to appoint a person to complete how do you say his last name? I didn't want to destroy that. Leo Leifenhagen's term from January 28, 2011 to June 30, 2012. And your selection, Mr. Chair?
My selection is Francis Leifenhagen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there a second?
Please.
Just going to second it. Is there any discussion on this, Mr. Chair?
I just want to point out that the resignation letter dated May 18th. We did receive it in December, so it's not our fault that this is sort of a late replacement.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion on this appointment? Mr. O'Connor.
The secretary of the association is over in the nursing home, so he kind of lost his grip on this.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Any other discussion on this appointment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you very much. In your packet, you received under item B a list of appointments expiring in 2011. It's provided for your information. If you have questions, or certainly provide to our chair any recommendations, or share this with your constituents about openings that they can apply for. This is a good time to do that. Ms. Petrie.
This is just a general comment about filling vacancies on any county board. Boards and commissions, and I'd like to see a little bit more effort in making public announcements concerning any vacancies. Much to Mr. Newish's probably, I did contact the News Gazette asking them if they could do a similar job that they did on the redistricting commission because it was huge success. And all the publicity that commission got, something like 36 or 37 applicants as compared to the slim number we get for other appointments. So if there's some concerted effort that we could begin to put into process to reach out a little bit more to people who have technical knowledge that's appropriate for some of the commissions, that would be very useful.
Thank you, Ms. Petrie. I know that these are listed on the website, and that's one form. I could certainly read through this entire list for the committee and the public. Could be another form. I'm certainly amenable to doing that. But for right now, I think it would be helpful, certainly helpful, if committee members would actively recruit members for these positions and assist the chair in the selection process.
Yes, sir. I'd like to point out the main reason that 37 members have applied for the commissioning.
Redistricting
commission was just left the room. Mr. Tom Casey had, I think, mentioned it twice in his news articles. That's the main reason we have a lot of people apply. Unfortunately, there's enough room for us to say it. So.
So we can read this list to Mr. Kasich and perhaps we can get some advertising. So that's for your information only. We'll move to item C, County Administrator's Reports.
The vacant positions listing is just included for your information. The second item is a request for your approval to release an RFP for fiber optics and structured cabling on the East Campus. There's a hard copy of it at your desk tonight. It was emailed to you last week. This is part of the building construction project that we are doing right now to complete a redundant fiber loop for our network connectivity on this campus.
Move by Mr. Langenheim.
Second.
Second by Mr. Quisenberry. Discussion. Is there any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion carries.
The next is a request for your approval to release an RFP for vending services for Champaign County. Our current vending services contract ends in April, and in order to have an appropriate amount of time to receive responses, evaluate them, and bring a recommendation back to you for a contract in March, we would like to release this RFP. It has been reviewed by legal and is ready for release upon your approval.
Movement by Ms. Cord, second.
Second.
Second by Mr. James, thank you. Is there any other discussion on this item? Ms. Petrie.
Just tongue-in-cheek, is there any way we could request the resulting items in these vending machines?
We do put a clause in there that we want 30% of the offerings to be at least low-fat, low-carb. We'd like to do more, but yeah.
I did have one question. I couldn't understand necessarily in the RFP that I read earlier today about what percentage of that comes back to the county.
It will be negotiated. Okay. I mean, currently, right now, our revenue from the vending machines is right at about $4,000, I think, or $5,000 a year.
And is this vending machines in all of the county properties?
Yeah, it's in all of the county buildings except ILEA's. ILEA's okay. Has requested, because of their operations, to be able to gain the revenue from the commissions on their machines. So that building is not included. All of the county buildings are included. The nursing home does receive the revenue from the machines in the nursing home building, though.
And what is the revenue from the other, like the courthouse? And does that come to general court?
The total. Is
the total
all
comes
of
to
them.
General.
And it comes to general court, yes.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? I can't.
Excuse me, a couple of questions. Then does one firm have to bid all of this, or is it split out so some firms furnish sandwiches and others copes, and, or how does that operation work?
It will depend. Right now, one firm provides all of it. It's typically preferred and been done that way so that it's a sole firm, but they have to be able to provide. We will need to see if, based upon the responses, we get one firm that can provide everything that we're asking for. And I will say that one of the most difficult issues is that we must offer both Pepsi and Coke products in our buildings, or our employees get very unhappy. So,
Ms. Petrie.
This is sort of a down-the-line question, but if several entities have been taken out of the pot of the revenues coming to the county, is this going to become a pattern?
No, and it's only one. It's just ILEA's.
Any other discussion on this item? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Motion carries.
The next item is a request for approval of release of an RFQ, request for qualifications, for broker services for employee health and benefit plan. And that was emailed to you yesterday. You have a version at your desk tonight, which has some corrections in it from what you received yesterday. It also has the census data information in it. I'm asking for your approval to release this on Friday because legal is still reviewing it, and I want to make sure that they don't have any concerns about this before we release it.
So moved by Ms. James, second by Mr. Rosales. Any discussion on this RFQ? Ms. Petrie?
Well, this is a clarification. If we approve it and we go see something on Friday and there's some changes, does it come back to us then with the changes?
Not usually, because all you're approving is its release. And so the idea is that there wouldn't be anything so substantive that you would have a problem with it and we would have to wait to bring it back to you. Oftentimes in the past, the county board has approved releases of RFPs without ever seeing the RFP document itself. I did not want to put you in that position, but...
Let me just ask. This is an RFQ.
RFQ.
And once you get that information from the companies who respond, then you will provide for us the next step of choosing one of those companies or releasing an RFP ultimately.
There is a process. This is health insurance, and we have not done this before. I am hopeful that a health insurance committee is going to be created, which will engage in this process of evaluating these. But that is dependent on a labor committee meeting later this month and working with the bargaining agents. So I would like to get the RFQ out on the streets and provide to you at your February meeting the actual, what we believe will be the process for evaluating and moving forward with adopting a contract for this, because we're still kind of working out those details.
Ms. Ferguson.
The need for handling an account like this, a group insurance account, are really quite minimal. They don't need any expertise. Why can't your own insurance specialist evaluate the proposals? And the proposals would then include the services that you want.
Quite frankly, I'm not aware of any entity of local government, at least in this area, who isn't using a licensed insurance agent to provide broker services for them to purchase these kinds of services.
And they choose the agent, and then that agent?
The agent becomes our representative to take the RFPs for health insurance and the related ancillary services to the various providers and evaluate responses and analyze the responses based on our census data. And we do not have anyone on staff who has the skill set and capability to do that level of analysis.
Any other discussion on this? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would also point out that this is a committee level decision, so this doesn't go to the county board, because all of this will come back to you after we receive responses. So your approval tonight gives us the authority to move ahead.
Thank you. We're going to skip item 5 for a second. And is there other business that we need to consider under this committee at this point? Ms. Petrie?
Just a comment for the new board members. It would have been helpful to have known that piece of information before we voted, that it doesn't come back to us at the whole board.
Thank you. Chair's report? Do you have another? I don't have one. We don't have an additional chair's report at this point. And we'll come back to the designation.
No, you can.
Can we do the designation now? Okay, so.
A1.
So we have A1,
A3,
and 4.
And that's it.
That's it. Okay. So I'm going to call on Mr. Alex at this point to
move that we enter into an executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 122C1 to consider the employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of Champaign County. Further, move that the following individuals remain present: our county administrator, who also happens to be our recording secretary, and the director of the emergency management agency.
Second.
All in favor? As we move to second. Oh, we got to do roll call votes on this one.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammon?
Yes.
Ferguson?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Cowart?
Yes.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes.
Langenheim?
Yes.
McGinty?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Nudo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
No.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Schrader?
Yes.
Weibel?
Yes.
We're in closed session for this one.
Andrew, he has to leave.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.